Good morning. Please join me, stand, and receive the call to worship. Our call to worship is taken from Psalm 66. Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Make his praises glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies cringe before you. All the earth bows down to you. Sing praise to you. They sing praise to you. They sing praises of your name. Come and see what God has done, his awesome deeds for mankind. Remain standing for the processional as we sing together, All Creatures of Our God and King, found in your program.
Let us call upon God to join us in prayer today. O gracious and holy God, give us diligence to seek you, wisdom to perceive you, and patience to wait for you. Grant us, O God, a mind to meditate on you, Eyes to behold you, ears to listen for your word, a heart to love you, and a life to proclaim you. Through the power of the Spirit of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please be seated.
On behalf of the Tyndale Board of Governors, the Chancellor, Dr. Stephanie Ling, the faculty and staff, I want to welcome you to the campus of Tyndale University College and Seminary and to the official first graduating class from 3377 Tyndale University on Bayview Avenue. For you that are attending here today, we have been in a major move in the last, in the last three and a half, four weeks, we have moved totally from the Ballyconner campus to Bayview. There is now nothing over on the other side. It's all over on this side. And so this is the official graduating class at 33, or whatever the number is, 3377. The graduates before you today represent a group of students who have been told over and over and over again over the 4 years that they've been studying that they would be on the Bayview campus. For various reasons that did not take place, and I want to thank this class for their grace, their mercy, and their care of me during those long 4 years. This represents a faithful journeying of students to the completion of degrees and the realization of a vision. We are very proud of our graduates. They are our letters of reference wherever they go. Some will move on to graduate studies in other universities, others into vocations of business, of counseling, of teaching, of social work, of public policy development, and so many other places. Some of them have been working at this degree while working full-time. They represent us well, and we are proud of them. To the parents and the family and the friends and congregations represented here that are their support networks that enabled these graduating students to successfully complete their program of studies, we want to extend to you a special welcome. You have made this possible. May God bless you in this celebration day. Graduating class of 2015, welcome to your day and the celebration of your hard work. Let's stand together as we sing the national anthem.
The scripture reading for today is from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 1 through 20. You graduates hopefully will humor me if I allow you to put that in some literary context for you. This takes place, these are some of Jesus' last words to his disciples at the Last Supper. He's already washed their feet. Judas has left in order to betray Jesus. Jesus has just told them, I'm going away, you're not going to be able to follow me. And Peter says, oh, please tell me where you're going, I will follow you. And Jesus says, you will deny me three times before this night is over. And then we begin with chapter 14, verse 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who does his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. And they will do even greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him. For he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. The word of the Lord.
In early September of 2011, today's student speaker arrived at Tyndale from Eden. But we weren't an exilic destination, and unlike Eve, she was happy to leave Eden High School. Graduations like that. And just before she began her studies here, she wrote this: I have promised God to strive to become the kind of Christian who shines brightly, who refuses to settle for less than God's best in every area of my life. I love finding ways to be God's hands and feet to others. In particular, God has given me a heart for orphans and those enslaved in human trafficking. As you will hear for yourselves in a moment, I believe Rachel Reimer's hopes and dreams over the last 4 years have become concrete realities for her. She is a shining beacon of joy, hope, and mercy. From a frosh year of quiet confidence and wide participation in community life, to this fourth year of multiple celebrations, a graduation and a wedding, Rachel has journeyed through the season of her undergraduate years fearlessly, graciously, and joyfully. She's modeled what it means to be a student at Tyndale. She thrived in a rigorous academic environment. She led peers in humility in a community group. She served children with the Toronto City Mission. She ministered to the spiritually impoverished community in Ireland with a mission team. And she founded Tyndale's Social Justice Club. Rachel's thrived during her season here. She's drank deeply of the Tyndale well, but she's given back much too. Amy Carmichael, a woman who gave of herself for the sake of the gospel of Christ in India for decades, once said this: "We are not here to be overcome, but to rise unvanquished after every knockout blow and laugh the laugh of faith, not fear." End quote. I'm not surprised that this quote is Rachel's favorite, because I know that her love of the vulnerable, the orphaned, the exploited, her commitment to wide mercy, holy justice, and unshackled freedom, her deep love of Christ, and her deep love of Christ will take her and Connor into broken, desperate, and beautiful places, where together in joy they will laugh the laugh of faith. Where sacred and faith-filled laughter thrives, how can there be fear? With these words, I can think of no better way to introduce to you this year's University College graduation ceremony student speaker, Rachel Rimer.
Thank you, George. Chancellor Ling, members of the Board of Governors, President Nelson, members of Cabinet, faculty, staff, honored guests, family, friends, and fellow graduates, welcome. When I was first asked to speak at today's ceremony, the very first thing I did was burst into tears. And not tears of joy, the kind of tears where my roommates and fiancé looked at me in confusion and asked what was wrong. I don't cry often, so they were curious as to what tragedy might have befallen me. Nothing was wrong, of course, but I was terrified. Although this is a great honor, at the time all I was conscious of was that I'd be speaking in front of a large number of people, and the prospect scared me. In that moment, I considered turning down the request, because I knew I'd be much more relaxed just sitting silently on a pew. It'd be easy, it'd be enjoyable, and it'd be comfortable. Unfortunately, my 4 years at Tyndale have taught me a few things about easy and comfortable, namely that the easiest option is often not the best one. Indeed, the times that I have grown the most and seen God at work most clearly are those times when I've been outside my comfort zone, not inside it. I think that's something that many of you may have experienced too. Maybe it was moving away from home for the first time or making new friends. Maybe it was being stretched intellectually in class, digesting new insights, or wrestling with issues of life and faith. Or maybe it was serving on leadership or out in our community and globally as well. In all of these ways and more, Tyndale has offered us so many opportunities to grow and to step outside of comfortable. In my case, this has included tutoring junior high students through local outreach and being a community group leader, which has involved everything from vainly striving to remember grade 7 geography to learning how to lead people my own age or even older. It has included playing floor hockey for the first time ever, resulting in some fairly impressive bruises and a whole lot of fun. And it has meant helping create Tyndale Social Justice Club, struggling with the vast amount of brokenness in the world and how we can and should respond to it. It has included being challenged intellectually to think critically and to explore how my faith integrates with and informs my discipline. And it has even included just learning to navigate Toronto without getting lost. When I first arrived here, I would always triple and quadruple check Google Maps before going anywhere, and always brought with me a hand-drawn diagram of where I was going, exact instructions for how to get there, how long each leg of the journey ought to take, and a description of what my destination should look like. Fortunately, practice has softened the apprehension of finding my way through the city, and I've even come to enjoy it. Through this and many other stretching experiences, I have learned that stepping outside of my comfort zone is a good thing. Why? Because it challenges you, teaches you new things, and makes you grow in surprising ways. Even more importantly, I find that feeling a little out of my depth is when I'm most aware of my need to rely on God. Although that need is always there, of course, I tend to forget about it sometimes and think that I can manage my life just fine on my own, thank you very much. But when I'm no longer in that space of comfortable, I realize my inability to hold everything together by myself. I'm invited to rely on God. And every time, I find that He is faithful and He is good. Every time, whether it be struggling with papers, with finances, with a death in the community, with a world that, for all its beauty, holds so much pain, every time. I've talked a lot about non-academic things so far. Professors, please don't feel offended. I've spoken about memories of experiences that I will miss. I won't miss learning, because I'm bringing it with me. Each of you has taught me, and all of us, so much. For example, I remember attending a scholarship dinner before coming to Tyndale, and in one of the professor's speeches, she talked about how she taught Milton and started quoting him. I didn't know who this Milton was, and so I concluded he must be a student in one of her classes. I was very confused as to why she was quoting a student in her speech. You have not only taught me knowledge, but have taught me how to think critically and learn on my own. You have taught me what it means to love God, not only with all my heart, my soul, my strength, but with all my mind as well. Often, the example of your lives has taught me as much as your classes have. And your passion for what you teach has sparked in me a greater desire and love for learning. No matter where I go, no matter where we go, that's coming too. Thank you. We have been so blessed to attend a school where the professors know us by name and truly care about us. For example, I know of no other place where a professor would bring homemade desserts to an exam in order to improve the mental health of his stressed-out students. Furthermore, the skills I have learned here have prepared me for elsewhere. When I attended Seneca during my third year of the Human Services Program, the critical thinking skills I learned at Tyndale became so valuable in helping me to discern the worldview behind what I was being taught, hold it up against truth, and decide for myself what I thought about it, rather than blindly accepting all that I heard. I was grateful for those skills then, and I know I will be again in the future too. So once more, thank you. And now to return to today. We're graduating. There are many new things in store for each of us. And if you're anything like me, you might be feeling a little bit scared right now. Or a lot scared. Excited, but nervous too. Whether this next season of our lives holds grad school, a career, moving somewhere new, or trying something new, you can be sure that there will be times when you're given the chance to not be comfortable. Take it. For me, there are a number of exciting things and scary things about to happen. In 2 weeks today, I get married. That's the exciting part. But I'll also be moving to a new city, finding a job, learning to be an adult, a frightening thought, and getting a chance to put into practice all of the knowledge and skills I've gained over these past 4 years. As I, like you, step out into new things, I also hope to take those chances to be uncomfortable. And as I do, and you do, we'll grow, we'll learn, we'll become braver. And as we continue trusting in God, we will see his faithfulness and love played out in a myriad of ways. I'd like to end with a quote from one of my favorite book series. In the words of Bilbo Baggins, I'm going on an adventure. So are you. Thank you.
Thank you, Rachel. It's my privilege and honor to introduce to you one of our own. The full introduction of Dr. Natasha Duquette is found in the back of your program. I'm going to offer you a little bit more than that. A little over a year ago, after an extensive search and multiple conversations and eventual interviews, Dr. Duquette joined us as the Associate Dean, Associate Academic Dean for the University College. She came back home from her time in California and joined us as a Western Canadian, a product of three Canadian universities, including what's listed there, her PhD from Queen's University. She joined us, bringing with her the experience of having worked at other Christian universities. She brought with her, if you've met her at all, enthusiasm and energy, and also an emphasis on student learning, all of which I affirm and celebrate. She's been a key role in the development of several new programs and minors within our growing university, such as the French minor and the visual arts and media. Sorry you won't be here to take those programs, but we're excited as to what's available for us. Through her pursuits, she has become an international lecturer and sought-after scholar in many different settings and venues, as listed in your program. What excites me is that as a result of a request from a student, she has now developed and become an expert in the area of Jane Austen. And while I've not seen her speech, I'm confident that Jane will be brought into what she shares. Please welcome with me Dr. Natasha Duquette as our graduation speaker for 2015.
Chancellor Ling, members of the Board of Governors, President Nelson, members of Cabinet, faculty members, staff members, friends, family, honored guests, and graduating students. You have heard the critical theorist Michel Foucault say, "Knowledge is power." But in the Gospel of John, Jesus says, "I am the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Graduates, here at Tyndale, you have acquired knowledge. In history courses, you have situated contemporary events in broader historical contexts. In your business courses, you've realized the scope of Christian responsibility, individual, organizational, social, and environmental. In English courses, you've communicated your knowledge and judgments about literature in lucid and critically rigorous forms. In human services courses, you have learned how to behave professionally, ethically, and legally. In philosophy courses, you've determined the structure of arguments and whether their premises provide good reasons to accept their conclusions. In psychology courses, you have interpreted, designed, and conducted psychological research. In biblical studies courses, you've analyzed the Bible. By being attentive to textual detail, genre, intertextuality, literary and biblical contexts, and traditions of theological orthodoxy. In Christian ministry courses, you've developed a philosophy and sense of calling. Due to the intertwining of intellectual pursuits with passion for God, both outside and inside the classroom, you've also grown deeply in your relationship with Christ. As you go from this place, you will need to apply the knowledge and skills you've gained, yes, but you will also need to hold on to the truth by keeping your eyes fixed on Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Truth, right assessment of our realities and ourselves, allows us to accept help from Christ, from others, in authentic community. Within 21st century Christian communities, if we are to not only survive, but also grow and flourish, it is essential for us to listen to the voices of women as well as men, as they articulate their own unique relationships with Christ. Today, I will share a few perspectives of Christian women and men from the past and present, including some graduates, on the topics of truth, grace, and renewal, beginning with Jane Austen. Sometimes we need to be, in Jane Austen's words, humbled to the dust before we can see the truth of our own embodied imperfection and begin to learn from others. In Austen's novel, Northanger Abbey, the heroine Catherine Morland only becomes open to truth when she has experienced a painful fall from excessive enthusiasm to humility and right proportion. The edifice of Northanger Abbey's title is a renovated and repurposed convent, now inhabited by the widowed General Tilney, his children, and servants. Like this building we are currently in, Austen's Abbey once housed a community of Catholic nuns. Though modernized, it still includes visible layers of monastic practice and history, which remind Catherine of the medieval abbeys she's read about in Gothic novels. And she begins to believe something dark and mysterious has happened in the abbey. General Tilney appears to her as the prime suspect, and she projects the cruelest aspects of the Gothic villain onto her host, whose worst crime upon her arrival is actually only the replacement of Northanger Abbey's ancient stained glass with clear panes of modern colorless glass. This radical, somewhat radical renovation is unlike our preservation of the variegated stained glass in the windows surrounding you today. One of our year's graduating students has written of these windows. She wrote, "I walked through this vast room and stared at all the beautiful French stained glass windows that line the walls. The first picture to catch my eye was a little elephant. It was not until I was handed a chapel guide that any of these pictures stood out to me. I flipped through the pages of this book, and each small picture in the panels was explained. I realized that not only is there a little elephant sitting nicely near the front of the chapel, but there's also a unicorn, a camel, and a whale hiding in the stained glass, each symbolizing one aspect of the Christian faith. It was interesting to know that both the elephant and the unicorn are symbols of chastity, while the camel symbolizes patience, and the whale represents the resurrection. Friends and family members of the graduates, after this ceremony, please consider taking a moment to contemplate these symbolic images in the stained glass of this chapel. Despite the fact that we here at Tyndale have conserved the art of the stained glass windows in this chapel, whereas in Jane Austen's story, the modernization sadly removed the images from Northanger Abbey's windows, there are still strong parallels between Jane Austen's narrative and our own situation, and we can glean from the wisdom of her cautionary tale. Just as Catherine Morland is swept up from reality, away from reality, by her ecstatic response to the Gothic imaginative potential of the Abbey, so we, as Tyndale community members, have been at times carried away by our dreams, inspired by the seemingly endless potential of this vast building. Just as Catherine comes to a sober appreciation of what she terms the grandeur of the Abbey and its architecture in the light of day, so we can have a measured and respectful view of this building in order that we may participate in God's concrete plans for it and for our futures. In Austen's novel, Catherine's tendency to imagine the Abbey as a site of adventure, even the setting of a murder mystery, comes crashing against the building's prosaic realities, causing a shock that humbles her to the dust. The fallibility of our human perceptions was emphasized by one of our graduating students, who wrote in a philosophy essay, quote, "Reason, intellectual faculty, searches for the ultimate truth, which is at the same as the good, the beautiful, God. This faculty seeks our Creator, yet because it is limited in its ability, it can be erroneous in its judgment," close quote. In Northanger Abbey, Catherine's errors in judgment trigger her descent from a position of pride to one of humility. Paradoxically, it's from this position of renewed humility that she can receive the fullness of grace. Jane Austen wrote a series of very orthodox prayers before her death, one of which opens with a petition for grace. And we will read this prayer responsively. "Give us grace, Almighty Father, so as to pray to deserve to be heard, to address thee with our hearts as well as our lips. May the knowledge of this teach us to fix our thoughts on thee with reverence and devotion, that we pray not in vain. Jane Austen's heroine, Catherine Morland, feels her sins of imagination deeply, regrets them sincerely, and as a result experiences grace and restoration to her right mind. A contemporary of Austen's, the Presbyterian poet Helen Ryan Williams, connected grace and restorative justice in her poem Peru. This epic-length poem is both an indictment of colonial violence against indigenous people and an expression of grace and hope for restoration. In Williams' poem, the oppressive rage of one Spanish priest, whom she calls Stern Valverde, is countered by the merciful justice of Bishop Bartolome de las Casas, a Jesuit whose God, quote, is love. The historical atrocities that occurred in South America were recorded by the real Las Casas in his Brevísima Relación de la Destrucción de las Indias, 1542. Helen Roy Williams imagines Las Casas visiting Peru, shedding tears for the Peruvians, and praying to Christ before rebuking Valverde in, quote, grace severe. In Williams' poem, Las Casas prays to Christ, O suffering Lord, whose streaming blood was poured for man, earth drank the sacred flood, whose mercy in the mortal pang forgave the murderous band. Thy love alone could save. This prayer alludes to Christ's statement from the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Williams ends Las Casas' prayer by connecting the suffering of Christ to the wounds of Peru's landscape, gouged as it is by mining for silver and gold. By drawing parallels between the tortured Peruvians, the wounded land, and Christ's crucified body, Williams gestures towards the possibility of healing and restoration in light of the resurrection. The Sisters of St. Joseph, who worshipped in this chapel before our arrival, have recently written about the life-giving renewal and restoration that arises from the resurrection of Jesus. On the Sisters' website, they explain, quote, the Easter season, which begins with Easter Sunday and ends with Pentecost, is a time of great joy. These 50 days celebrate the resurrection of Jesus and the restoration of creation. We are in the midst of this Easter season right now, the restorative powers of which are all the more poignant in Canada after a brutally cold winter. In celebration of the Easter season, I've been planting seeds indoors to remind myself of the potential for new life and a fresh start. Now there are seedlings of lettuce, herbs, wildflowers sprouting by the front windows of my living room. These bright green shoots are living emblems of God's restorative power of renewal. Scripture repeatedly uses spring growth as a simile for spiritual renewal. In Isaiah 55, 10 to 11, we read, For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there until they've watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So my word will be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. Graduates, God will send you out to places and people in need of restoration and renewal. Once you arrive where he has sent you, persevere and keep planting your seeds, trusting that these seeds will eventually accomplish what he has purposed, which may be something beyond anything that you could ever ask or imagine. Also know that it's often at the coldest or bleakest points in life that the seeds planted for the future wait in stillness and darkness. Just as seeds underground, under the snow, wait for the right conditions of light and warmth to emerge in spring. Poet T.S. Eliot reflected, April is the cruelest month, breeding lilacs out of the dead land, mixing memory and desire, stirring dull roots with spring rain. In times of sorrow, trust God, and let the Holy Spirit stir the dull roots of your soul with spring rain. In times of ecstatic triumph, try to remain realistic, keep right proportion, and take time to express gratitude for God's daily blessings. Canadian author Margaret Lawrence wrote of spring's return during a time of war in her song for spring, 1944, Canada, where the poet speaker exclaims, April has brought the youngest time of year with clinging cloaks of rain and mist, silver gray, the velvet star-wreathed night and wind-clad day, and song of meadowlarks from uplands near. The new-formed leaves unfold to greet the sun, whose light is warming fields still moist with rain, while down each city street and grass-fringed lane, children are shouting gladly as they run. Children themselves embody hope for renewal in communities touched by loss or grief. This is true today in places like Syria, as true in Syria as it was in Canada or Germany in the 1940s. Jewish thinker Leslie Koppelman Ross notes, quote, "Planting a tree, a concrete, practical act, has represented hope since ancient times. So powerful is this connection that even in the Theresienstadt concentration camp, children planted a tree." Graduates, you can emulate such children, pausing to plant trees with your life that will bear fruit in the future, even as you gladly run the race set before you with endurance, throwing off the sin that so easily entangles and fixing your eyes on Jesus. It is only the cross of Christ that can bring true renewal. Christ's body is the ultimate seed that died, fell into the ground, and resurrected in order to give us the possibility of new life in him. Embracing the way of the cross is not easy. We must continually die to self and be reborn by God's grace. Yes, this is experienced upon conversion, but it's also echoed throughout each of our lives as more of our own will is pruned off at times painfully to allow the fruits of the Spirit to grow in us and in our communities. As you go from this place, remember to daily take up your cross, though it may involve levels of loving self-sacrifice you could not have fathomed before. You will be embracing the truth in a way that is paradoxically sacrificial and liberating, deeply restorative of yourself and others. Only if you're truly free, free from greed, free from the fear of death, free from resentments or envy, will there be room for Christ to move in and through you. In the words of African-American poet Phyllis Wheatley, true relationship with Christ enables us to, quote, share with him in the sublimest skies, life without death, and glory without end. Allow me to quote one more Tyndale student as I conclude. In my aesthetics course last semester, a Francophone student observed of Phyllis Wheatley, "Elle encourage les étudiants universitaires à considérer la vie avec Christ. Wheatley à savoir une relation intime et merveilleuse avec Jésus, maintenant et dans l'éternité." Phyllis Wheatley encouraged university students to experience an intimate and marvelous bond with Jesus Christ, now and into eternity. Christ is on the move. He moves in you, outwards to a hurting world in dire need of healing. He moves in you today, tomorrow, and into eternity. Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Thank you.
now for what you came for. Would all students receiving the Bachelor of Arts Honors, Bachelor of Arts, and Bachelor of Religious Education please stand? That was not in your program. That was not prompted. That came from the heart. Madam Chancellor, I present to you the students graduating with the Bachelor of Arts Honors, Bachelor of Arts, and the Bachelor of Religious Education.
Thank you. Dear graduates, let us begin. Autoritates vestitos in mea perdibula gubernatoris, Tyndale University Collegia and Seminarium. Ego confera super vos in gradibus in absentia, in respective academica diploma vel gradus enim quod commendatos, cum omnia aura privilegia et officia pertinent I, et mea sincera congratulatione. By the authority vested in me by the Board of Governors of Tyndale University College and Seminary, I hereby confer upon you and those graduating in absentia your respective degree and diploma for which you have been recommended with all the privileges and rights that pertaineth thereto. And I offer you my most sincere congratulations. Well done, Tyndale graduates.
You may be seated, please. Because every graduate would like the family and friends to hear his or her name called, please withhold applause until the end of each category, degree category. The following students are graduating with a Bachelor of Arts Honors in Business Administration. Jennifer Brown. Natalie Kay. Timothy William Cinema. The following students are graduating with a Bachelor of Arts Honors in Psychology. Tabitha Ackert. Nathan Kalk. Nathan is graduating with distinction. He is also the recipient of the Gold Medal in Psychology. You kind of broke a rule there, but congratulations, Nathan. Corey LaFleur. Joshua Lehman. We've completed the Bachelor of Arts Honors in Business Administration and in Psychology. I sense you want to applaud. Please, go ahead. The following students are graduating with a Bachelor of Arts, Biblical Studies and Theology. Roderick Darnell Jacob Cohen. Mark Dollar. Mark is graduating with a minor in Christian Ministries Pastoral. Amos Dalbert. Amos is graduating with a minor in philosophy. Kaylin Michelle Frank. Kaylin is graduating with a double major in English. Spencer Ryan Healy. Joshua James Treyer Kale. Joshua is graduating with a focus in youth ministry. Darren James Kendall. Darren is graduating with a minor in philosophy and a focus in youth ministry. Neil Lamont. Neil is graduating with a minor in English. Neil is graduating with distinction. He is the recipient of the gold medal in biblical studies and theology. Neil is also the recipient of the Dr. John McNichol Memorial Award in biblical studies. Sheng Luan Li. Sheng Luan is graduating with a focus in pastoral ministry. John Luke Murison. John Luke is graduating with a double major in philosophy. Rebecca Santana Pascal. Rebecca is graduating with a focus in intercultural studies. She is also the recipient of the David Maines Communication Scholarship. The following student is graduating with a Bachelor of Arts, Biblical Studies and Theology, Pentecostal Studies. Adam Richard Giles. Adam is graduating with a focus in youth ministry. You may applaud if you choose. The following students are graduating with a Bachelor of Arts, Business Administration. Harrison Knox McCauley Bateman. Siddhant Nick Lal. Andres Mika Lauer. Andres is the recipient of the gold medal in business administration. The following students are graduating with a Bachelor of Arts, English. Chris Clark. Benson Duong. Benson is graduating with a double major in biblical studies and theology and a focus in youth ministry. Evelyn Kamal. Sarah Rhodes. Sarah is graduating with a minor in biblical studies and theology. Kate Stiver. Connor McDaniel. Connor is the recipient of the Troughton Family Scholarship. These are students graduating with a Bachelor of Arts in History. Hannah Rose McDougall. Emily Olson. Emily is graduating with a minor in English. Joseph Rakowski. Matthew Robert William Standish. Matthew is graduating with distinction. He is also the recipient of the gold medal in history. Jordan Nathaniel Tulloch. You may applaud if you wish. The following students are graduating with a Bachelor of Arts, Human Services, Early Childhood Education. Kevin Ng. Kevin is graduating with a minor in Psychology. Bethany Lauren Freeman. Bethany is graduating with a minor in Psychology. Delita Melody Houghton. Charity Lowe. Ashley Speck. Ashley is graduating with a minor in Christian Ministries, Children. She is also the recipient of the Association of Chinese Evangelical Ministry Scholarship in Missions. Cherish Taylor. The following students are graduating with a Bachelor of Arts, Human Services, Social Service Work. John Onoki. Lolita A. Henry. Ifeoluwa Abuali Aluana. Rachel Reimer. Rachel is graduating with a minor in psychology. She is graduating with distinction. She is the recipient of the gold medal in human services. And Rachel is also the recipient of the Percy C. Harris J.C. McCauley Award in Ministry Studies. Cheryl York. Cheryl is graduating with distinction. The following student is graduating with a Bachelor of Arts, Human Services, Modular. Adam Hoskins. The rest of you can applaud if you wish. The following student is graduating with a Bachelor of Arts, Linguistics. Karina Horton. Karina is graduating with a minor in Biblical Studies and Theology, and she is also the recipient of the Gold Medal in Linguistics. And you're free to applaud as you choose. The following students are graduating with the Bachelor's of Arts Philosophy: Irene Chandrasinila, Sina Choli. Sina is graduating with distinction, and she is the recipient of the Gold Medal in Philosophy. Hope Cunningham. Hope is graduating with distinction, and Hope is the recipient of the Jean C. Scott Memorial Award in General Arts. Liam Ganey. Liam is graduating with distinction. The following students are graduating with the Bachelor's of Arts, Psychology: Aaron Abraham, Kyle Andrew Anstey, Lauren Ann Barrichello, Rachel Elizabeth Grace DeMarsh, Adam Muhammad. Adam is graduating with a minor in Christian Ministries, Youth. Tamara Lucia Fisk. Sarah Reed. Sarah is graduating with a minor in English. That concludes all of our graduates for the Bachelor of Arts degree. The following students are graduating with a Bachelor of Religious Education, General Ministries: Carl Wycliffe Hicks, Jr., Samuel Ki-sung Kim, Craig McFarland, John Molinar, Jennifer Marie Pichette, Jenny is recipient of the Association of Chinese Evangelical Ministry Scholarship in Missions. And now Jenny's off for another mission trip, not her first. The following student, our last student, is graduating with a Bachelor of Religious Education, General Ministries, Chinese Language, Benson Lee. Yeah. Benson is graduating with distinction. He is the recipient of the Gold Medal in Religious Education. Benson is also the recipient of the Percy He Harris J.C. McCauley Award in Ministry Studies. Now let's give it up for all of our graduates.
Usually at this time, the chair of our board, Stephen Holmes, would give you greetings, and he usually does something a little out of the ordinary. Unfortunately, he's at a funeral today and could not be in attendance, so I'll try to live up to his image. One of the things that we believe very strongly is the critical issue for us as a university college is to grow a strong faculty. And we're very proud of the faculty who are a part of Tyndale at this time. And we want, I know that you as graduates would like to kind of stand and give them a hand. So why don't you do that? Go. And then there is another, stay standing, because then there's another group of people who sometimes you needed to send you something really critical to the bank at a particular time, and other kinds of things like that. So why don't you turn around and give a hand to those that have supported you? You can be seated. Oh, stay standing. There's another group, and they often get forgotten, but they are the backbone of an institution like this. It is all the support staff and the Board of Governors and all of those people who make this thing seem like it's seamless when it really isn't, who are always there at those difficult times. And I'd like the staff and the Board of Governors, our support staff, if they would stand wherever they are in the room, if they would stand just now, and the Board of Governors as well. Graduates of you can sit now. Graduates of 2015, we're proud of you. God be with you.
Good morning. It's an honor to share some words at your graduation celebration. On behalf of the over 12,500 Tyndale graduates and alumni living in Canada and around the world, congratulations on the successful completion of your studies. Today, you are a university graduate. Amen. You can add two words to the description of yourself. Firstly, you are a graduate. This means that you have, well, the Latin word for graduate means grade or step, meaning you've taken an important step. You are moving up. You are growing up. Second word to describe yourself is alumni. And this word in modern usage means someone who is a graduate of a school or a university. And as an alumni, you take the Tyndale name and reputation with you on your journey of life and work and service. Our president, Dr. Nelson, likes to call our alumni our living letters to the world. That's who you are. The word alumni is born out of the Latin word alere, which means to nurture, to cultivate, to cherish. It comes from the idea that an alumnus is someone who leaves a school or a university having been nurtured and cared for, someone who is formed in the values of that school. As a student of Tyndale, you have been cherished. We are a small university with small classes, a sense of community where your professors bring you dessert. You will be missed, and your impact on your fellow students, the professors, and all of us will be remembered. Together with you, we are thankful for those who have nurtured you on your journey, your fellow students, your professors, and most importantly, your family and your friends. We hope you will fondly remember your years at Tyndale. You will always have friends here. We hope that you will come back and visit the school as we continue to grow and to change. You have been a student at Tyndale for a few years, and now you are an alumni for life. As you leave, please drop by the alumni table down in the gym where we'll be gathering. We'd like to give you a small gift bag to say congratulations and welcome to the family. In your bag, you'll find the newly designed, highly coveted Tyndale alumni card. And this card is your key to the new campus. So when you come back at the store, at the library, it gives you access to the new campus. So please make sure to drop by the alumni table before the end of the day. Today we say, well done, God bless you richly, and welcome to the Tyndale alumni family. Welcome.
Whoever the faculty member is that's been bringing dessert, I just want to say, stop it. You've raised the bar very high, and it's causing a number of us anxiety as we think, what can we do to compete with this kind of hospitality? It is always at this time that we recognize those in our faculty who have been moved into in promotion. And we want to do that today. We want to announce as an act of the Board of Governors that Dr. Bill Friesen, Bill is now the Associate Professor of English Literature here at Tyndale. Do you want to give? Likewise, we want to recognize the Board's decision to promote Dr. Daniel Driver as an associate professor in biblical studies. And last but not least, Dr. Daniel Wong as associate professor in Christian ministries. Each beginning demands an ending. And every ending promises a beginning. And now is such a time. Go now, and may passion inspire you. May injustice trouble you. May brokenness be something that you see around you and you wish to heal. May hope comfort you. And may your friendships nourish you. May you sometimes get it right, and may you laugh when you don't. May peace, the peace of God, surround you, and may the love of Christ dwell richly in you. May you live with the maturity that comes because you live with gratitude. And may you dwell deeply in the God who you met here, who challenged you, who made you and transformed you into who you are now. May you go with God and with all our hope and with all our blessings. Amen.
As we stand for the recessional, I want to take a moment and thank Dr. Elizabeth Davey for stepping in and accompanying us this morning. So thank you, Beth. My suspicion is part of the dessert issue may be harboring at the piano. Please stand for the recessional and the singing of Seek Ye First the Kingdom.
Get one thing wrong in every service, and I did it. I forgot to invite you to join us in the gymnasium after this. That's where you'll find whoever you are here celebrating. That's where you'll find the faculty. If you'll just go out the door and to your right and follow the walkway, people will point you in that way. Thank you for coming. God bless.